Coming up next, is the workplace getting too political? Then I'll share the 10 best part-time jobs in America today. And then college grads are overestimating their salaries. Of course, we're going to coach you up. It starts right now. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. So let's talk about this. It feels like politics is creeping into the workplace more and more and more. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What if it's a bad thing for you? What do you do about it? We're going to break that down. Let's just talk about two recent stories that are just chock full of politics dominating a business, the hallways, if you will. The water cooler is now just completely politicized. I think of Twitter. I think of Disney. With Twitter, obviously, the story's been dominating the headlines with Elon Musk agreeing to buy the company and then a bunch of staffers freaking out. They literally took to Twitter. They were tweeting, "This is the end of the world as we know it." A great REM song, by the way, for those of you youngsters out there. But, you know, it's like, what's going on? They're worried that everything's going to be horrible. Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't. But they're freaking out about it. To the point that Twitter said, we can no longer approve any changes to the app, to the actual product, unless it is approved by one vice president. Why? Because they were worried about disgruntled employees destroying the app. Politics. That's what it was about. It was about changes to what they were going to do based on free speech, their version of free speech. This is all politics. This is blue check marks being worried about people saying things that they disagree with. This is all politics. Now, I don't care where you are on the position, and I'm not taking a position. And in fact, I addressed this last week. I said to these young people, look, if you don't like it there and it's not in alignment with your values, it's okay to leave. But it's not the end of the world. You can work somewhere else. Then I think of Disney. My goodness. The state of Florida and Ron DeSantis is a very controversial bill that was in the news. You had to be living under a rock to not know about it. And a bunch of Disney employees walked out. They didn't like that Disney wasn't doing anything to stop the bill. So I want to give you context here. So you've got the Florida legislature proposes legislation, and a bunch of Disney employees didn't like it. They put pressure on their CEO. They walk out. They threaten to quit or walk out or whatever it is to get the company to get involved in politics. Now, let me be the first to say, if you care deeply about politics, left or right, liberal, progressive, conservative, it doesn't matter. I think you should, as a citizen, care deeply. And I think you should exercise your right to protest, to vote, to organize, do all those things. But putting pressure on your company CEO or your company leaders to get involved in politics that matter to you, I think it's dangerous. I think it's dangerous. I don't think it's something that should be happening. Let's take a quick look at where we stand, though, in America. If you look at younger millennials, for sure, and Gen Z, which is the generation behind millennials, two pieces of data stand out. Number one, they are looking to work for companies that are in alignment with their political values. Now, again, values, yes, like good companies, companies that are full of integrity, that are leading and providing a product or service with integrity. That is something that you should care about. But to see what the leadership's politics are and how they are propelling that political belief into the marketplace and allowing that to be your decision, again, it's like the person who's looking for the perfect church or the perfect pastor. I got news for you. There ain't one. So you're setting yourself up for frustration and disillusionment. Second piece of data point for these younger generation is that they want to absolutely have their leaders step into controversial or big political items. They're expecting that. And again, I think it's dangerous. So what's happening? A lot of big companies are responding to this, and they're focusing more on politics instead of purpose and profit. When your company leader is focusing more on politics instead of the purpose of the company. Remember this, every company got into business for a purpose. In other words, for a why. And it was to provide a product or a service to serve people. Product or service to solve a problem or to meet a desire. This is business 101. And when you begin to focus on politics and not the purpose, it's going to affect profits. So the question is, what do you do if your workplace is getting too political? Let's bring this right down to our lives, because this is happening. We get calls on this. We're seeing this on social media. What happens when your company, through its leadership, takes a position, a political position, and gets active as an activist on something that you don't agree with? Again, this is left or right. What do you do? You've got to decide. You've got to decide, can you turn off the noise? In other words, whatever the media is saying about it, whatever your coworkers are saying about it, and can you do your job, which is very much needed? Can you do it and turn off the noise? Can you separate your profession from your company's political involvement? That's the question you've got to ask. This is Psychology 101. Can you separate your profession from your company's political involvement? If you can, you should feel okay about that. Now, let me just break this down. If you can separate it, but your family and friends can't, what do you do? If you can separate your profession from your company's politics, you're going to have to be a big boy or big girl and put on those big boy pants, big girl pants, and tell your friends or your family, knock it off. I'm still the same person. Don't involve me in what my company's doing. You got to do that. You got to create a boundary. If you can't separate your profession, your daily work, from what your company's doing, that's okay too. But you need to start looking for the exits. Let's find an exit and leave. So what you hear me saying is there should be no guilt either way. Let me give you an example. Because I work for Ramsey Solutions and we believe in no debt and we teach people don't do credit cards, don't borrow money because you become a slave to the lender. We have people that call us up and say, hey, Dave, Ken, I work for a bank and they are giving people loans and credit cards and I feel so gross and disgusting. And we are both quick to say you shouldn't. You aren't doing anything illegal, nor are you doing anything unethical. So give yourself a break. You're not a bad person. Now, if you want to shift from that because it is a values disconnection, that's okay. But there needs to be no guilt and no shame. Because here's the breakthrough for you folks. You ready for this? You aren't going to change your leaders' opinion on politics or their involvement in politics. You're just not. That's why I don't argue with anybody over politics, because I know what I believe and I know why I believe it. But I'm not going to change what they believe and why they believe it. So you aren't going to change it. So why do I address this? Because this is increasingly a problem. And here's what I want you to remember. You were created to fill a unique role in your work. You are needed and you must do it. Somebody needs you to show up every day and be your best and make your unique contribution. It is in your uniqueness that we find your greatness. Just be who you're supposed to be. Forget about the rest. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Are you ready to launch into a tech career in the next year? Bethel School of Technology's online technology bootcamp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. Aiden is a recent high school graduate who skipped college to enroll with Bethel Tech. In less than a year, he has a job as a developer with a salary of $65,000. 80% of Bethel Tech students land jobs within 4 months of graduating. Bethel students get jobs, and you can too. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started today. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we're helping you make more money and experience more meaning. Thrilled to have you with us. Every Thursday night in May, oh man, this is fun. We are hosting a free crash course to help you boost your career skills. Ramsey Academy, joining arms with our Ramsey Ed team and Ramsey Career Academy. And this is fun. So the first one was Thursday, May 5th. This is so exciting because we're hosting a sales crash course. This is to help you in sales. If you're in sales and you want to get better at it, if you're in sales, you're probably on commission, which the more effective you are, the greater you get paid, right? And so we want to help you. I'll be joined by Ramsey Solutions Senior Vice President Chris Campbell. This guy's the best salesperson in the building. He's unbelievable. Leads a team of salespeople. They're so good. He's an expert in training sales team members. And so this is a training crash course on how to get in it, how to go up in it if you're looking at a career in sales. You'll leave practical tips to jumpstart your career. If you want to sign up, go to RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. RamseySolutions.com/crash courses. Check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right. I am a man of the people. And as a man of the people, it is my duty to keep you informed. Let's go. All right, first article today. Here we go. That's for the YouTube folks who love to hear the paper crinkle, they call it. 10 best part-time jobs to help you pay the bills. So let's just get real here. At Ramsey Solutions, we want to help you win financially. We're helping you win professionally, helping you win relationally. And many times, the gap to get you from day job to dream job is going to require you to pick up a side hustle, right? Maybe to pay off debt faster, to save money faster so that we can go get the training we need, or we are free to start this business that we want to start. And so I don't ever want you to overlook the power of the side hustle, the part-time job. So here we go. This is from U.S. News and World Report. This is from their best jobs ranking. And here we go. We'll count them down from 10 to 1. These are the best part-time jobs and what they pay. Number 10, dental hygienist, an average wage of $37. Bartender, average hourly wage, $12. Now, that doesn't include the bartender who gives great advice. You know what I mean? So can we just say, if you are really good with discernment, you read people well, and you give good advice, the bartender is going to make way more than $12 an hour. Some world-class advice, you're going to get a nice tip on the end of that beverage. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Come on, pay attention here. Looking for that good side hustle. You like giving advice. By the way, if I'm somebody who wants to go into counseling, let me play this out a little bit more so you don't think I'm just playing around. If I'm somebody who wants to go into counseling and it's going to take me time to get out of debt and then save up money to cash flow an expensive degree, can I tell you, I'm not joking. If you don't have some type of ethical or moral problem with it, I would become a bartender, because you're going to meet people right where they are in their pain and help them not drink too much. Number one, hello. Number two, start learning how to listen and give advice. There you go. Number eight, best part-time job to pay the bills, restaurant cook, average hourly wage, $13.10 an hour. Number seven, an actor, hourly wage, $21 an hour. Now, let me tell you what that is, because I think some of you hear actor and you go, I'm not moving to LA or New York for a part-time job, Ken. Hello, every city you live in, Nashville, Dayton, Ohio, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, trust me, there are people that are shooting local ads, commercials, and they need actors, whether it be a speaking part or whatever. So there are talent agencies all around the country that are doing local and regional commercials. This is not like I'm going to act in a film as Brad Pitt's stunt double, because I know that's what some of you were thinking for me. I'm just kidding. Making sure that the booth is paying attention in there. They kind of were. Next is number six, physical therapist assistant. Average hourly wage is $24 an hour. Next, landscape and groundskeeper, average hourly wage, $16 an hour. Massage therapist, average hourly wage, $20 an hour. Number three, recreation and fitness worker, average hourly wage is $13 an hour, almost 14. Number two, personal care aide. We're seeing this area explode with the rising population. Boomers are getting older and older, and personal care exploding. If you find yourself loving to take care of people. You consider yourself a caretaker. This is a great, great spot to make some really good money if you're hustling. And then number one, home health aide, same basic area here, helping with some basic health care that a doctor is supervised or a nurse. And this is just administration, if you will, execution on some of this. Another great area for those of you. Average hourly wage is $13 an hour. So there you go. All right, next story. CNBC headline. College graduates are overestimating the salaries they'll start out at by $50,000. I'm sorry. This is not funny, but I have to laugh because the reality deprivation syndrome we have in this world is startling. And some of you are going, I've not heard of this syndrome. I know, because I made it up. It's not technically a real syndrome, but this is like, we've got this idea. My wife and I were just talking about this, Alex, over the weekend. Our kids, our teenagers, the things they say sometimes are based on sheer fantasy, but they think it's real. They're like, oh yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of my kids, well, she'll remain nameless. They don't watch the show, so they're not going to get embarrassed. Says to my wife, yeah, so, I think I'm going to have, he's got 2 years, by the way. He tells me, oh, I'm going to have $10,000. I have $10,000 saved up. And Dad said that he'd match what I saved, which I did. And he's got me on a technicality here. He goes, so I'm going to have a $20,000 car. And my wife said, let me share something with you. You ain't getting a $20,000 car. Okay? Because I just think like 16-year-olds shouldn't drive that nice of a car. I just don't think so. Even if you got the money. Okay? Some of you are going, well, what if I got the money? This is part of the problem in our world today. These kids don't know how to earn anything. I drove a Mazda 626 with 185,000 miles on it. It was such a piece of crap that I could pull the key out of the ignition while I was driving. I would show my friends and my girlfriends just to freak them out. I'm like, hey, here's my key and the car's running. It was a turd on wheels. So I appreciated later on in life when I got a nice car. Anyway, so you ready for this? The average starting salary for this year's crop of graduates is projected to be a bit more than $50,000, which that's extraordinary, $50,000. Okay, this is based on recent data. Yet, current college grads and soon-to-be grads expect to earn twice that. They think they're going to come out and make $103,000 a year. Now, some of them will, depending on what their degree is. Undergrad students across all major institutions overestimated their starting salaries by 88%. Study from Real Estate Witch. 10 years into their career, students anticipate making more than $200,000, well over the average mid-career salary of $132,000. 7 in 10 seniors are graduating with debt, owing about $30,000 per borrower. So what's happening here? They have overestimated the value of their degree. By and large, these numbers will not play out, not even close. Not even close. Parents, people, I don't know. I don't know who needs to be telling these kids this stuff, but this is crazy. And again, I'm going to tell you this marketing message that a degree is the only way to success is feeding into this nonsense. So they think, well, I got this nice degree from a nice college. Show me the money, right? Rod Tidwell and Jerry Maguire, one of the famous lines. All right, coming up next, we'll get into the coaching session. Helping you get the gig you want and then grow in the gig to have the life that you want. This is the Kent Coleman Show. Hey, the job search can be long and lonely. Filling out resumes, submitting them, reaching out, trying to connect with people. You're getting ghosted. You're getting a little bit of love, and then all of a sudden, boom, they drop you like a bad habit. Was it me? Is it you? What's going on? Right? Was it my cologne? What did I do wrong? right? All these kind of things are just kind of part of the process. And it makes the job search really kind of gross and intimidating. And yet we still are sitting in the hottest job market we've ever seen. That's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. Nobody wants to feel alone. And they've figured it out through their artificial intelligent technology where they do so much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you can just click with one button and you've applied. They pitch you all the time while you're working and busting it. They're pitching you behind the scenes to people based on your profile and the fit. And you're going to stand out when Zip is on your side, right? They go, oh, ZipRecruiter sent me this person. And so that's why I endorse them. Oh, by the way, did I mention it's free? Doesn't cost you a dime. Sign up today for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That is ZipRecruiter.com. Tell them Ken Coleman sent you, by the way. All right, let's go. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Thomas is on the line. Thomas, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, can you hear me?
I hear you well, sir. What's up?
Hey, I just want to start by saying thank you for everything that you guys do at the Ramsey Corporation. It's been life-changing for me and my wife.
Wow.
But
thank you, sir.
So my question for you here is, currently I am in my fifth year of teaching, and I work in a pretty highly structured but challenging branch that caters to kids with special needs.
Okay.
It's a branch of education that I realistically did not think I would be in for a very long time. And right now I have kind of encountered a alternative job opportunity at a school that I actually had graduated from. And so I'm kind of torn between whether I stay at my current role because of the security that it offers monetarily and with the benefits that they provide, or if I just take the jump and transition to this new position. Behind all of this, my wife and I are expecting our firstborn in June.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so much. So my contract would be terminated at my current position at the end of June, which fills me with fear because I am uncertain. It's just a lot of uncertainty surrounding the transition.
All right, let's break this down.
Sure.
What makes you feel insecure about going back and working for the college or institution, if I heard that right? What makes you feel insecure about the new opportunity?
Well, I think the lack of security that I feel is just the transition and making sure that my newborn and my wife are going to be financially taken care of, and then that our insurance and all of that is still going to be maintained.
Is this a job offer?
It is not. It's an opening that I had discovered.
So we are right now feeling angst about moving to an opportunity that's not actually an opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, no. At the bottom of it all, I recognize that this is just an application.
All right, but let's play it out. Let's play it out.
Okay.
Who is it? Is it for another college? Who? What work would you be doing?
I would be working in a special education department at a lower setting, at a high school.
At a high school. Okay. So similar to what you're doing now, but at a high school level.
Correct.
Okay. Does that high school offer benefits? And the salary, is it the same or more as what you're making now?
Looking at their contract, I'm looking at a slight decrease in pay when I would transition over there. However, they do offer coaching opportunities, which is a huge thing
for my
desires in my career.
Coaching opportunities for you to be coached, or where you're coaching people and getting extra pay?
Where I'd be able to coach students in academics and sports and get extra pay.
Okay, so point blank, you wouldn't be making less money. True or false?
That would be true.
Okay, and because you're still in the school system, you're not going to lose your benefits. They're not going to change. True or false?
Correct.
Okay, what is making you, with that being the facts that you gave me, what is causing you to fear that's going to affect you and your wife and your newborn child negatively as it relates to finances? There's no interruption in pay and there's no interruption in benefits. What causes you to be afraid of that?
I think at the bottom of it all is I'm a very loyal worker, and this school that I've been at is one that believed in me before I even got my credentials.
So this is not about a fear of finances. This is a fear of what people are going to think about you and say about you.
I suppose that's true. I guess I don't know how to quit a job. I've had three long-term...
Sure you do. You ready? I want you to fill in the blanks. Okay?
Sure.
And I want you to be the host of the Ken Coleman Show for 1 minute. You cool with that?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thomas, hey, it's Ken. I need your help.
What do you got for me, Ken?
I want to leave my job at the broom factory. I'm done making brooms, but they were really good to me in a hard season of my life and gave me a job and trained me how to make brooms. They helped me out in several areas. It got me on my feet. They're really good people, but I got a great opportunity to make double the money and go do the work I want to do. And I got to resign next Friday. How do I do it?
Just be open and honest with your superiors. Take a leap of faith and trust in God that this is exactly what you were meant to do.
Okay. All right. So what do I say to him? Like, I mean, I what do I say? Because, I mean, I really appreciate him, but I've got to leave. I got to take this opportunity. What do I say? How do I say it? Thomas, help me.
I would tell you to go in with a lot of gratitude and
that's good.
Express just how grateful you were for the opportunity to work at their institution.
I can do that. What if they're a little upset that I'm leaving?
That's where I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, no, but you're trying to help me. I called you, Thomas.
Okay.
What, I'm a people pleaser, and I'm really worried what they're going to think and say. But what if I'm really classy, and I'm grateful, and I tell them why I'm taking this job, and they're still a little bit upset? How do I handle that?
Boy, just maintain a line of contact and let them know that if there's anything that you need during the transition process, that you'd be willing to help them.
Oh, that's good.
Transition to the next staff.
That's good. Thomas, all right. I'm letting you off the hook. You did a good job hosting the Ken Coleman Show there for about 2 minutes. I lied to you. Really needed you to get that. So you see what I just did with you?
Yes.
Thomas. You know how to resign. You know how to quit. You know what the short answer was? I could have just said quit with class. But I made you give me advice because I wanted you to realize that you do know how to do it. You quit the way you would want someone to quit you.
Okay.
You know what your problem is? You're a good human being. That's a good problem to have. And good human beings care about how they treat people. But I think you got a little bit of people pleaser in you, and I'm a recovering people pleaser. I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, I was off the charts. I'm still dealing with it. I'm dead serious, by the way. I'm not kidding around. I got major people pleasing issues. Big time.
I'm with you.
All right, then. So one people pleaser to another, I'm going to set you free. Is this the choice for you, yes or no?
I think this is.
No. That's a crap answer. You've already told us what the answer is. Is this the choice for you, yes or no?
Yes, it is, Ken.
Is it your life or is it their life?
It is my life.
All right, then. I would rather disappoint someone than resent them. And if we allow, listen, I'm talking to people pleasers everywhere. I'm talking to myself. If I allow what I think other people might say in their disappointment, or I allow what people might say to others in their disappointment, I will eventually resent those people because I have given them power that they didn't have. And then I resent them. I would rather say, this is what's right for me. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I'm going to go do it. And there are going to be some people that are disappointed, but that's okay. Thomas, you're a good man. Apply, win the job, and move forward head up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.